Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. TV, without it, life would be just so empty. It is the start of the new TV season, and here to talk about the hits and misses is the senior critic at TV Guide Magazine and TVInsider.com, Matt Rausch. Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Ed.
It is great to have you on. It is the perfect time of the year to talk about TV, so here we go. Let's go through some of these and get your thoughts. The first one that comes to mind for me, Designated Survivor on ABC. Kiefer Sutherland, the accidental president when the government is blown up at the State of the Union. Quite a concept.
It really is. And of course, timely given it's a big political year. And I guess this is the only thing that could be more outrageous than what we're watching in real life is this particular scenario where a guy who's never been elected to office, he's like the low man on the totem pole in the cabinet, and he becomes, like you said, the accidental president. And the show itself has kind of a vibe of the West Wing because he's very idealistic, and then also Homeland because of this whole terrorist attack aspect and the mystery aspect. A little bit of House of Cards because there's political intrigue. Yeah. Nobody thinks this guy ought to be president except maybe him. And so it's also got like elements of family drama because you get to know him and his kids and his wife before even the thing happens. And he's a really appealing character, but Kiefer Sutherland is basically playing the opposite of Jack Bauer, the character we knew him so well as on 24. This is not an action hero, but he is a hero, and it's going to be an interesting show, I think, to see how it takes off. But it certainly has gotten a lot of attention already.
ABC has also put a lot of promotion behind this. There have been tons of promos. This is the very same billboard right now, right outside New York City, that has this giant ad for Designated Survivor. This time last year had a giant ad for the Muppets, so let's hope Designated Survivor has better fare than the Muppets did.
I do think this is the thing with the Muppets is they rushed that on the air. They loved the idea of it, but they didn't really have the show, and this happens a lot. You know, I see this happening with some of the comedies that CBS is putting on, where they're bringing Kevin James back and Matt LeBlanc back to TV. They have these big stars to put on, but it's like they don't really have a show for them. These are like the most tired, dumb dad sitcoms you could imagine these guys being trapped in. And so in that regard, sometimes the billboards get you excited, and then it's like Charlie Brown with a football. You end up flat on your back.
And it's true. You brought up Kevin James. Kevin Can Wait over on CBS. I see this. All I see is a reboot of King of Queens. He's got the hot wife. He's sitting home. He's watching Met games, and he's making one-liners. It's the same show, is it not?
It's the same show, only worse, because what I liked about King of Queens is like he was the big kid, and they kind of acknowledged that, but they didn't have kids of their own. Now he's sort of playing that character with kids who were smarter than he is, and it's like, you know, that whole idea went out in the 80s, you know, when we had that whole, surplus of three kids in a couch comedies, and this is just bad stuff.
Let's go over to Fox. Pitch. This is an intriguing show. It's about the first female baseball player in the major leagues. My worry about this is once they establish the premise, okay, she's a female, she's pitching in the major leagues, how far can they go with this?
It is a good question, and it's often one that we confront when we're trying to deal with a new season, because the pilots sometimes are very, very promising, and I liked this one a lot. It's very inspirational. This young woman, Kylie Benberry, is a really terrific actor. She could become a big star, but it feels almost like you're watching a movie more than a series, and you think, okay, the first inning was great, but where are we going to go in, like, the ninth inning, and then how about like season two? What will that be like? So I think it's going to have trouble establishing legs, but I hope that it at least pops. What I like about it is that it's different, and that's hard to find on network TV, where it's not a franchise show set in a hospital or a precinct. These are actual people, you know, trying to achieve something here. I'm also really high on a show on NBC called This Is Us, which got a lot of promos during the Olympics. It's an unconventional family drama about these sort of intertwined characters. But it's got like a tear-jerking aspect to it, a really cool twist in the pilot as you see what the connections are among these characters. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of show about real people that you don't see on TV very often, especially network TV. And I'm kind of hoping that, especially with the promotion it got during the Olympics, people at least tune into it. Because what I like about This Is Us and Pitch is that I actually felt like an emotional connection to the show.
And that's always important, too. And I think that's very important for any kind of a show to have any kind of staying power at all. Let's stay with Fox. They're going to stunt for their returning animated shows. Simpsons, Family Guy, they got to come up with a hook every single year. So the hook this year, Amy Schumer guest voices on all the shows the night they return on September 25th. They got to come up with something new every year to keep people coming back, do they not?
Well, kind of do, especially these high concept shows like the Animation Domination over there on Fox on Sunday. And so with The Simpsons, of course, also having a landmark year because their annual Halloween episode will also double as their 600th episode.
Wow.
That is an incredible long run for that show. And it's not, there's no end in sight for it either at this point. But yes, to try to refresh themselves, how do you get noticed? How do you make noise when you've been on the air that long? You do something like this. Amy Schumer got a guest voice on all the animated shows that night. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing with The Simpsons. 600 episodes debuted, what, back in 89 on the Tracy Ullman show. Why does that show have such staying power?
I think one reason it can be timeless. I mean, animated shows in their best form are timeless. I mean, Bart never has to grow up, and they can, but yet they still evolve, and as time goes on, they find new things to satirize. They still remain current in terms of the kind of jokes they tell, but the world in which they live remains very timeless, and these shows, of course, will play on in reruns forever and ever and ever, but with a 600-episode and growing catalog of episodes,
right,
you really just wonder how long they're going to keep that going, and they're still making money, or they wouldn't do it.
Speaking of money, when you think of the voice actors, now this is someone here you're talking to that's done some voice acting in his career. These people, they've made millions and millions of dollars, and to think that Julie Kavner thought that life was over when Rhoda got canceled.
No kidding. I mean, talk about a second act or whatever you would call this. But yeah, for sure, those guys have landed in the gravy train for sure. But they are, you know, very gifted at what they're doing. And Dan Castellaneta, who does Homer, does other voices as well.
Right.
So in that regards, yeah, more power to them, actually, because remember, they really had to fight to get the money that they really
That's
wanted
right.
and felt they deserved, because that show has been such a cash cow for the studio.
Joe, let's jump over to AMC. The Walking Dead comes back October 23rd. Please explain to me the allure of the zombies. We get it. They're dead. They're walking around. Why do we love them so much?
Well, I think it's more about the survival aspect of that show and the fact that they've created this group of characters who, against all the odds in a world that's seemingly falling apart, and that the odds are against them because the numbers are so huge of the undead that has arisen and all that. So in some regards, I think it's also just how extreme the show is, that anyone can die. There is so high stakes on that show. I mean, there's a few characters that seem like once they're done, the show would be done. But still, there is this sense that anything can happen on the show, and I think that sense of unpredictability and just how far they're willing to push the envelope on cable television. That's one of the reasons we watch that, or we watch American Horror Story, which is about to come back for another mm-hmm. season, and shows like that that are very, very extreme, and that is one of the trends. That's also why you're seeing Fox in one of the many, many remakes we're getting this season on television. They're remaking The Exorcist as a Friday night horror show.
Wow.
And you think about the impact that had on the culture back in the 70s,
sure.
and it's like, can that even like make it again on television, and will they pull their punches? The first episode's really scary and really creepy, but you wonder whether has culture passed by The Exorcist. We'll see. But when that Tubular Bells theme comes on at the end of the episode, yeah, I got chills.
And how can you not? Last question I have for you, and I've seen you talk about late night TV several times before.
Yeah.
How political conversation has kind of came into what was the realm of entertainment for so many years. You think about Johnny Carson talking to Buddy Hackett, and then with Letterman, but then comes Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. And as I watch The Late Show, I start to see that now start to evolve kind of back into what Colbert was doing over on Comedy Central. Can political talk make it on a major network at 11:30, or does that need to be kind of separated and put over on channels like Comedy Central and TBS?
Well, depends on how you deal with it, but Colbert is, his show is still evolving, but I think it really went through a spike when he went live after during the convention
right.
weeks this summer, and I think that re-energized the show, and he's finding a way to bring that. But the problem is, of course, we knew him when he had that satirical persona, and now he's doing it as himself, so he has to be a bit more earnest about it, except that he's doing just the pure jokes. But the fact is that that kind of humor is got to, it's just so expansive, and now, you know, a lot of the people who've left Comedy Central, Samantha Bee has her own show on TBS, which mm-hmm. is awesome, but also Fearless. John Oliver's, you know, he's out there with his own show on HBO, having left Comedy Central, and Comedy Central's the one that has to worry about redefining itself.
Right.
Trevor Noah's version of The Daily Show did not get nominated for an Emmy after, like, you know, more than a decade of dominance at the Emmys those shows had, and what's his name, Larry Wilmore's show mm-hmm. that replaced Colbert got canceled, so I think they're the ones that really have to figure out what their voice is now.
And it's going to be very interesting, and it's funny, I had a conversation with Carol Burnett the other day, and one of the things that she's always talked about is, why don't we see more feminine faces on late night TV in hosting positions. And she's got a point. You know, you would think that after Letterman left CBS, there was an opportunity not just for CBS to go get Colbert, but to really make a statement. You've got people like Tina Fey, Amy Schumer, that would be eminently qualified to handle a late night show.
Yeah, I think a lot of them turned that down because they know what a grueling grind it is, and it's sort of a trap for your career. You know, finding someone like James Corden was a real boon for CBS,
right,
given some of the things he's done. But when he was cast, it was like, oh no, another white guy, you know, and that does seem like a lost opportunity. What Samantha Bee is doing in quasi sort of late night adjacent on TBS, that's the kind of show that I think they're all looking at and go, we should have done that, we should have got her, and someone like her can explode out there. Chelsea Handler's doing her show on Netflix, but that's not getting a lot of attention right now. But so there are some people still playing in that talk arena, but it is an opportunity still for somebody to make a big noise, and the first person that puts a woman out there who can really take it home, that'll be a big accomplishment for everybody.
Well, it certainly will be, and as the new TV season starts and we see the new show's debut, we then await those first cancellations of the season, which should be here before we know it. Matt Rausch, senior critic at TV Guide Magazine and TVInsider.com, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Much appreciate it.
And stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised
James Blake has like a foot in.
James just yelled at me I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. 280 degree switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of C-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar, other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog is a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of a set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars, along with the longer front fork tubes, will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road.